Blog Talk Radio.
After a day off from Blog Talk Radio, we are back here live. It'll be archived on yesnetwork.com, this off-the-wall podcast. Chris Sheeran here with you on the 26th day of April in the year of our Lord, 2013. On the other end of this conversation and joining me on the show today is the owner of BigBlueInteractive.com, Eric Kennedy. Eric, thank you for joining us to talk a little Big Blue football. That would be New York Giants to the people who don't know anything about that. Eric, thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me on, Chris.
Eric, the Giants, as we both know, they had some needs going into this draft. Offensive line was definitely one of them. They're getting up there in age. A couple of them with injuries, coming back from injuries this year. They also need corner, linebacker, defensive lineman, but let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Justin Pugh, the tackle from Syracuse that they took in this first round, definitely a necessity. And if you haven't seen it yet, Google the reaction of his friends and family after he got the call. It's worth the watch and it's worth the wait. Seems like a very respectful kid. I don't know how many times he said yes, sir, to Tom Coughlin on the phone, but give us a little breakdown about the tackle out of Syracuse.
Yeah, you know, this is a guy that if you look at the fan reaction across the net, including on my website, you know, fans are sort of, this isn't an exciting pick. This isn't, you know, a sexy pick for the team. And
right.
And he's an interesting guy. I think the fear with a lot of Giants fans is this. The only one who sort of pegged this guy to be picked here was the draft guru Mike Mayock with the NFL Network. He had actually picked Pugh for the Giants a couple of days ago on his mock draft, and of course that caused a lot of fans to go, wait a minute, why this guy, we had him pegged in the second round. So you combine that with you had the run on tackles and guards early in the draft, the six guys that went, and everybody in terms of Giants fans, they had their favorite players, they have their favorite need mm-hmm. positions, that type of thing. But if you get into the guys that they were looking at, they were thinking about, you know, DJ Fluker, who's supposedly the Giants were very high on him, but of course he went very early with San Diego,
right?
At 11, I believe. So there's a concern with Giants fans that this guy isn't a good player because he's the seventh offensive lineman taken. It's a valid concern, but you know, the more I've researched him since they took him last night, the more he's kind of grown on me. He's probably one of the most ready-to-start players that you could find in the NFL, and the reason behind that is, for a rookie, his coach at Syracuse, Doug Marrone, is a former offensive line coach, so he's been taught NFL line technique for the last 3 years that he started at Syracuse. He's a junior, but he started the last 3 years at left tackle. His technique, from everything that I've seen and read since they took him last night, is fantastic. This guy doesn't have any wasted motion. He's very efficient. He's incredibly smart, and he's supposedly one of the hardest working guys that you'll find. One of his coaches said he hadn't been around a guy that worked as hard as this guy, except for Peyton Manning. So he's a really hard worker. He's very technically proficient. He's athletic. He's got good feet. And the one area that he probably needs to work a little bit on, like a lot of these guys who are 22, 23-year-old kids, they need more work in the weight room. So he could get a little bigger and get a little stronger. But he's the kind of guy, because of his technique, and the other thing is his versatility, he can actually play either tackle spot, he can play guard spots, and a lot of people think he can play center, too. So a lot of the Giants' positions on the offensive line are nailed down coming into 2013.
But we know how many injuries they've had to deal with, and
exactly.
Some guy and a guy like this who could come in and he's very versatile and could play any position, you can't pass a guy like that up.
Right, and that combined, people got to remember that going into 2014, and I know fans don't like to look at 2 years down the line,
mm-hmm.
but Kevin Booth's a free agent again. Chris Snead talked about retirement and is making a ton of money. We know David Deal's at the end of the line here. We don't know that they've got in James Brewer. So he's the kind of guy that they can play, you know, plug into any spot on the line depending on how things pan out. So we'll have to see. What I like about the kid is what you said. You saw the reaction on the YouTube video.
It was unbelievable.
He's just thrilled, and he seems. I saw an interview on the Bleacher Report today, and he seems like a really smart kid, and I think he's going to come in and he's going to fit in with the Giants. Do he's a very hard-working, smart guy. The offensive line is a complicated position in the NFL, and I think he's going to fit in with guys like Chris Snee and David Deal and that group and Boss up front. I think personality-wise, he's going to fit in, and I think based on what I've seen, the Giants' offensive line coach loves him too. So, but the question is, could they have gotten a better player at that position? That's what some Giants fans are thinking.
Well, let me go there next. I mean, we both know they need a linebacker. You know, they might bring Michael Boley back, but that might be, you know, that might be a case if they don't get something in the draft at linebacker that they're happy with. Maybe they go back and get Michael Boley. I'll ask your thoughts on that in a second. But, you know, you had a guy like Alec Ogletree sitting there at 19, but, you know, the character issues were there. And I said to myself, there's no way they're going to take this kid because it's not the Giants kind of player. You could debate me on that if you want, but I just didn't feel like they were going to take a guy like Ogletree there with their track record of staying away from players who have trouble off the field.
Yeah, and the thing that really sort of turned me off of him is a couple of things. One,
he's small too, isn't he, for a linebacker?
Well, he's a converted safety, and he's
right.
Not the most physical guy. So he's good in terms of the, you know, it's more of a passing league now. So in space, he's very good, but he's not a run defender. And the one thing I had heard from one of the draft guys that frequents my site, who's real good, Colin at the Great Blue North Draft Report, he said Ogletree interviewed incredibly poorly at the combine. So here's a guy with character concerns, and the teams he met with the teams at the combine, and he really turned them off there. So we'll have to see. I wasn't thrilled with. I didn't think they'd go linebacker in round one. I think they're much more likely to go linebacker. I'm sure we're going to talk about this later, but there's a good chance they'll do it today because there's a lot of good linebackers still there in the second round. But I didn't like Ogletree at that pick. I was when it was coming up, I was thinking, even though they're pretty settled in the short term at tight end, you know, Eifert was there from Notre Dame. He was there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there were a couple cornerbacks that I like Xavier Rhodes was there. And, of course, Sharif Floyd had dropped like a rock at defensive tackle. So there were some guys there that people – so when this was going live last night on the website, you had Giants fans going, oh, two more picks, one more pick. These are the guys that are available. And so everyone was excited about, you know, who was lining up. And then when Pugh's name came up, they were like, oh, man, come on. We could have gotten him in the second round. I'm not sure that this guy would have made a second round because then you saw Long went right after that. And just the run
right.
on tackles. So the big question to me is this, with Pugh is this. Giants preach best player available all the time. They also admit that need does play a factor. The way they do it is they cluster their picks into groupings. And according to Jerry Reese, of all the players that were available in the cluster that was left, Pugh was one of their highest or their highest ranked player. I'm not sure I totally believe that, but you know, he made a wisecrack that he said, seriously, you know, he was the best available player.
Yeah,
this
he said,
does,
you guys think I'm joking, but
yeah,
he was
exactly.
the best available player, yeah.
Yeah, and I it's just, you know, my gut instinct says they need played a bigger role here. But, you know, we'll see. The one thing I'll say this, I think he's a safe pick, and he's one of these guys that can come in and play 10 years in the league. And he reminds me, that there was somebody who mentioned this, and I think they were spot on. He reminds me of a guy that played 11 years for Detroit, Jeff Backus, who was a left tackle with,
absolutely.
You know, supposedly short arms, that kind of guy who played a long time on a bad football team, but he was a very, very good football player for a long time. And if he's that kind of player for the Giants, this was a very good pick for them.
And they needed it. You know, last year you had all the issues on the offensive line with all the injuries during the season. Hakeem Nicks wasn't 100%. Eli Manning, you know, you want that protection for Eli Manning. You want him to be able to pick a defense apart, and it starts with that offensive line, and then it goes to the running backs. You know, does Eli have something back there to help him out to take the pressure off the passing game? And he does. He's got David Wilson, and now they just re-signed Andre Brown as well. But getting to today, Eric, the second and third round start tonight at 6:30. You know, they still need help at the cornerback position, even though Aaron Ross is back in the fold. They brought him back after a year in Jacksonville, or as I like to call it, NFL Siberia. They need a linebacker. They need a defensive lineman as well. Who will be available, do you think? I know this is impossible to try to prognosticate, to look into a crystal ball, basically, but who do you think will be available for them in the second and third rounds, and where do they go?
You know, I think there's a lot of interesting guys that are still there. There are a lot, and I thought this before the draft when people were saying Ogletree, or even, you know, some people who were saying Manti Te'o, you know, in the first, which I never thought was going to happen.
Yeah, I didn't either.
You know, I always thought, you know, you guys are looking at linebacker too early. It's going to be second or third round that there are going to be some guys that are pretty good football players, and they won't be reaches in the first round. You got guys like Arthur Brown who's still out there. Te'o, which I'm not, you know, I think people have almost gone too far the other way with him in terms of negativity. He's gotten so much negative press now, I'm almost taking a contrarian approach that I wouldn't take him in the first round, but if he's there in the second round, he's a guy that you look at. But there's a number of guys at linebacker. There's a number of guys at cornerback. Slay's out there at cornerback. You've got Kevin Minter at linebacker still out there. You know, you even have a guy like Tank Carradine who, you know, you have to check out the knee because he had an ACL injury, and there's whispers that knee might be worse than people have been letting on. But that could be smoke, too. That could be people putting up that story.
Let me ask you about Te'o really quick here. I just want to get your thoughts, your take on it. You know, he really played poorly against Alabama in the national championship game. He played against pros. That Alabama Crimson Tide team, they were pro players, basically.
Right.
And he got exposed in that game. Do you think teams stayed away from him in that first round to avoid the stigma of possibly, I can't believe you took this guy in the first round, if he turns out to be a bust? Because before that national championship game, this guy was in the mix for a Heisman Trophy. So I know he was exposed in that Alabama game, but he's still a solid player here. And, you know, a guy who was being looked at for the Heisman, do you think teams just stayed away because of that stigma? You know, no first round, but, you know, maybe we'll take a chance on him in the later rounds here.
It's hard to tell. You know, teams fall in love with certain players and they don't want to lose them. I think Te'o was overhyped at Notre Dame because of the Notre Dame machine, you know, the PR machine there. But
right. He
is a very good player. One game doesn't erase an entire career's work, though. And the other thing in that game, as you mentioned, you could probably take Alabama's offensive line and they could start in the NFL. That's how good they are. And when you have a linebacker getting killed in a game, you got to also say, hey, their defensive line in front of him is getting killed. So I just think between, you know, the off-the-field issues that he had with that whole
Which I'm not even looking at. Yeah,
I'm not even looking at that. I'm not.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that's, you know, you just write that off at this point. I just think people have now overreacted. I tend to take a contrarian approach. I think people have overreacted now to the point where, you know, they're almost putting him down too much. He's going to come into the league and he's going to probably, again, another guy who's probably going to have an 8 to 10 year NFL career. He might not be a Pro Bowler, but he's going to be a decent player for a long time. And you win with guys like that too. So we'll see. I think he's gotten knocked down. It's a passing league. He's more of a two down run defender type of guy. He did at college make plays on the football, but I think that's the stereotype he's falling into right now. But I'll tell you what, if he's there when the Giants pick in the second round, in the middle of the second round, you got to say, hey, you know, that might be a good spot to take him. But there are other guys out there. There are other linebackers. There are other corners. I'm looking at the same kinds of positions that you already mentioned. I'm a big defense guy. I think they've addressed the offensive line. I still think they could maybe take another player there. Mm-hmm. But I right now, all three levels of the defense, I wouldn't mind if they took any, you know, defensive end, defensive tackle. There's some defensive tackles there that are out there still too.
You know, we're sitting here talking about the Giants and their holes at defense, and meanwhile the team that shares the building, you should put up a dartboard and throw a dart and hit a position that they need. And I hate to joke because I have a lot of Jet fan friends, but at the same time the problems, the quote unquote problems the Giants have, are they pale in comparison to what their roommates have in the same building.
Well, that's true, but I will also throw this out that the last 2 years, the Giants have ranked 27th and 31st in yards allowed.
Yeah,
and
it's not been good. You're absolutely right.
And it wasn't for that six-game run, and thank God they had it. That six-game run at the end of 2011 into the playoffs where the defense actually played well, and then they went on to win the
Super
Bowl. Well,
it's like, you know, OC flipped the switch, and everybody just got behind him. It was like Braveheart. with the Scots going across the field, and that's exactly what the Giants did. They just put everything together.
Yep.
And that's the thing that drives you crazy with this team, Eric. They put it together. They can go out there and destroy a team. Like, they went out to San Francisco last year. They destroyed the 49ers on their home field. They won in every facet of the game they won. And then
Saints.
At the end of the season, the Saints, you scratch your head like, is this the same team? Is this the same team that went to Cincinnati and looked like they were a Pop Warner team?
Oh, that was a horrible game.
Oh, God, was that a bad Sunday. I had to shampoo my carpet downstairs, and that was – while I was shampooing my carpet, I was just like, really? I have to do this, and this is the performance I have to watch while I'm doing it? Just unbelievable. But let me get back here, back on track. I go on these tangents,
sure.
And I apologize.
I
brought up Andre Brown and I brought up David Wilson. Now Dre said recently that he's setting some lofty goals for himself coming off this broken leg. He wants 22 touchdowns and 1,300 yards in this upcoming season. And if he gets anywhere close to those yards, if David Wilson has a breakout year, if this offensive line could stay healthy, it could pretty much happen. And with Akeem Nicks healthy, I'm liking what I see out of this Giants offense. I mean, they really don't need anything except to help on the offensive line. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, exactly. And the nice thing about this pick, this kid, Pugh, and he may not start. We'll have to see. But I think he's capable of pushing. But he's really good at pulling and getting out on screens and hitting people downfield. And I think that really meshes nice with David Wilson. And I agree with you. I think they're going to have the running game. I think as long as the offensive line stays healthy, that's been, and you mentioned that earlier in the show, that's been their real bugaboo the last couple of years. They keep getting guys hurt. David Voss has got to stay hurt at center. He keeps getting nicked up. But if they can, Snead's been nicked up the last couple of years. But if these guys can
stay healthy, as well as anybody, if the center goes down, it's like a domino effect on the offensive line, because that is your captain. That is the guy who calls out all the protections. That is the guy that's with you from day one in training camp, and he knows all the protections. And it's a guy that Eli Manning trusts. And then you throw a new guy in there. I'm not trying to talk down to a backup here, but you know, it's just a trickle-down effect. If the center gets hurt, and Boss, you know, he wasn't healthy all of last year, so that's going to be huge. But if this kid Pugh could come in and he could challenge and he could show people that he could possibly go in there and replace a Boss if he gets hurt, then that pick, this versatile tackle from Syracuse, turns out to be a steal of a pick in the first round.
Right, and Booth can play center too, and you could even have
Pugh
play guard too. So that's where the value is. But, you know, the offense, you've got Nicks and Cruz. You know, I think Cruz is going to get a long-term deal. But you got Nicks and Cruz. I really like Reuben Randall. I think you saw at the end of the season what he can bring. I think he's going to be better than Mario Manningham was for this team. So then you get Brandon Myers, the tight end who caught 80 passes with the Raiders.
Going to ask you about what do you think of him? That was like a breakout year for him last year. What do you think about him and opening up the tight end position? You know, they did that a little bit last year with the unicorn. They need to try that again this year. I really, when they go away from the tight end play, and I really think – guys like Nix and guys like Cruz open up the seam because they take so much attention away from a defense. But when the Giants have a strong tight end, that's when, to me, they are the most successful offensively.
Yeah, exactly. And this guy came out of nowhere last year, even though he played with a bad shoulder injury. The question is going to be is how good a blocker is he? He says he's
right.
a much better
that's
blocker than he showed last year because
yeah.
of the shoulder. So we'll have to see. But I think he's the kind of guy, the famous black unicorn, he was sort of notorious still for making mental errors on the field and running wrong routes. I don't think you're going to see that with Brandon Myers. I think he's going to be a very good security blanket for Eli. And like you said, if they're going to focus on Cruz and Nix and maybe even Reuben Randall, there's going to be all kinds of space open in over the middle of the defense for the tight end. Can he threaten down the seam? I don't know. We'll have to see. I don't know how athletic he is getting down. But Martellus Bennett was certainly athletic enough to get down there. The guy I'm really curious is the JPP of tight ends is Adrian Robinson, who they drafted last year, who they supposedly really, really like. I think he's going to be a heck of a blocker for them. And if he can, he has the ability to really get down the field. So if he develops, then they're at tight end, they're going to be okay. I agree with you. It's the offensive line. They've got everything else right now. Everything stays healthy, knock on wood. The offense is okay.
Now, I think it's silly, Eric, to look at a schedule in April when baseball just starts and even a month through the baseball season, you can't really look at a record and say, well, that's what my team's going to be the rest of the year. So
yeah.
To look at a schedule is silly, but I still think it's worth the look here with the Giants. And if you look at their first eight games, they have a nice 8-game stretch and then the bye and then the second half of their schedule. But that first 8-game stretch, they have 5 road games. They're at Dallas to start things off. They go to Carolina 2 weeks later, in Kansas City, which is never an easy place to play, and then at Soldier Field and at Philadelphia. I mean, that's right now, I mean, looking at that is a tough first half of the schedule.
Yeah, the one thing I have that leaves me a little bit optimistic about this is that Coughlin tends to get his teams ready to play the first half of the schedule. So
it's the back half that we have to worry about.
That's what we're worried about. But, I'm not thrilled with – one thing I'll say with this, normally I would say if I was a Giants fan from 5 years ago, I would say, man, I wish we didn't have to start at Dallas. But the Giants have owned the Cowboys in Dallas the last few years. So, and I do think Denver – the Denver game does mean something to Eli. He's 0-2 against his brother right now, so
yep.
We'll see. But if they can't go into Kansas City and they can't go into Carolina and win, then they're not a playoff team. So I'm almost kind of like getting the away games. And aside from last year, the Giants are a pretty decent road team. I think the stretch that probably concerns me the most, and that I hope they're playing their best football, it's the end stretch where they play Washington twice in 5 weeks, and then they've got Seattle.
You know what that is, by the way?
What?
The first game against the Skins down at FedEx starts December, and we all know Tom Coughlin's team in December, with the exception of the 6-game run, of course, that they won the Super Bowl, the second one over the Patriots. But that is at Washington, at San Diego, home for the Seahawks, at Detroit, and then home for Washington again. That is a brutal 5-game stretch right there.
And you never know what you're going to get with Detroit, so we'll see. And we'll never.
And it's the end of the season, too, so you don't know what you're going to deal with injuries at that point in time. But still, looking at it now, the 3 games before that, all home. So basically, the really good thing about this schedule in my eyes is that after that Philadelphia game in Philadelphia, they're done with the Eagles. The first half of the season is over. They'll have 8 games in their hat. Then the bye, and then 3 straight home games. So they can get healthy, and they're home for a month, basically. They're home for the month of November.
Yeah, you know what I like about those two things is you mentioned December. It's not December that's giving them problems. It's November. They're horrible in November.
Yeah,
they only have three.
Novembers. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, no, and they had some trouble in December too. But it's really November that they really had trouble, and they've only got three November games. And the way the schedule is they almost have two bye weeks. They have the normal bye at the exact midway point.
Right.
But then there's another stretch a couple weeks before that from October 10th to the 21st where they got 11 days off. So there's no reason for them not to be really primed for the second half run
right.
of the schedule. They shouldn't be tired unless we get another natural disaster hitting the Northeast and throwing people out of their houses.
God
again.
Forbid, correct.
You know, something like that. Unless something, I mean, there shouldn't be any reason for them to have their batteries recharged for the second half. Based on all the schedules they've had in recent years, I'll take this one. But it's hard. But it's a lot easier, I think, than the ones they've had in recent years. So
You just talked about that long time off there before the bye. They have the Eagles on Sunday the 6th. Then they get the Bears 4 days later on Thursday. So that's going to be a little difficult.
Tough.
But then after that, they've got the 11 days before the Viking game and then a normal week or actually another short week, Monday to Sunday, because the Viking game is a Monday nighter, and then the at Eagles is Sunday afternoon, and then the bye. So it'll be a little dicey, that four-day break. You know, every team has to go through it. I think it's ridiculous that a football team has to play 4 days after they get beat up against a division rival, against, you know, a team from the NFC North and the Chicago Bears on a Thursday night on the NFL
road
Network.
Game,
I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but God, do I hate the primetime games. If it was up to me, I would wish. I used to kill for the Giants to be on primetime. Kill for them to be on Monday Night Football. But there is no flow. You can't get into the game. It's a commercial every 5 seconds. And the Giants right now, they open on NBC Sunday Night Football. And then they have the Bears on Thursday night. Then they have Monday night against the Vikings. They have a Sunday nighter against the Packers. They have another Sunday nighter against the Redskins. And then after that, finally, it's, you know, unless they get flexed.
Oh, they'll get flexed. You know they're
going to
get flexed, too.
Yeah. So
no, I agree.
Just,
I mean,
it's
the thing
bane of my existence,
is the commercials. The commercials just dry.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no flow, you know, so.
But In conclusion here, before we wrap this up, we only have a couple of minutes left. I just want to pick your brain one more time on the draft and where the Giants might go. Not the third round. This next pick, if Manti Te'o is available, do you think Jerry Reese will pull the trigger here and take Te'o in the second round?
It depends, and this is a cop-out. It depends on who else is there. I think if some of these other guys are gone, but I think there are other linebackers still left that I would consider over him at this point, like Arthur Brown. But if a guy, you know, if those guys are gone, and we've only mentioned a few of them, but there's the linebacker from Carolina. Some people think it should go later. Reddick, who's there? There's the guy from Connecticut. Moore, you know, there's some other guys that they may value higher. But if he's, you know, some of these other guys, like Carradine is gone in the corners. My gut instinct tells me that it's going to be either a cornerback, a defensive lineman, or it's going to be linebacker. And I just think the way that because there's so many linebackers that are still there, I think this could be the spot for the linebacker. But if there's a corner there that the Giants really like, they value cornerbacks more than they value linebackers. This is the cop-out part. If the corners are gone and somebody like Carradine isn't there, I think they're going to go linebacker. And Tail's got to be, I would think, has got to be in the mix because he's a good football player. I know some people hate this guy now, but he's not a bad football player. And you know, you're going to get somebody who's passionate about the game, who loves the game, and you combine that with production on the field, and you can't do a lot. You could do a lot worse than that. So I think he's got to be in the equation. The odds are, you know, just from a number standpoint, he won't be the pick, but I think he's got to certainly be in the discussion. There's a chance he's going to go before the Giants pick anyway. So the nice thing is this. I looked at who's left, and I thought, hey, we're going to get another good player here. So there should be somebody there that is really going to help this team.
Well, it's the most wonderful time of the year, Eric. It's draft time, and then it's mini camp, and then before you know it, training camp will be here, and then it'll be week one. I wish we could bypass the preseason like you can on the Madden games, but unfortunately, we can't do that. But I really appreciate you coming on today to talk a little Giants football. It's always, you know, I have to be honest, even in the off season, you thumb through the Post or the Daily News, and you just pray that there's a Giants story there. I mean, it's just any kind of football-related story to get you juiced up for the season. So I really had fun with you today. I'm glad you could come on, and hopefully we can get you back on. I know you do some things with Joe Callow, and you're going to be talking to him next week on the Big Blue Podcast here on YesNetwork.com.
Yep.
As well. So have fun with Joey. You guys do a tremendous job with that. And here's to the Giants and the rest of their picks, and hopefully we will be playing a home game come February or late January when the Super Bowl comes to Giants Stadium, to MetLife Stadium in the greater New Jersey area, that is. Eric Kennedy, the owner of Big Blue Interactive. If you haven't checked this site out yet, you have to do it. Thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris. Great job. Thank you.
All right, Eric. All right, we're going to see you next time here on the Off the Wall Podcast. Take care, everybody.